music, news, information. Weekday mornings from 11.
This is Northside Today.
On the line I have Paul Mullally, and he's a volunteer ranger with the Dublin Mountains Partnership. Good morning to you, Paul. How are you?
Good morning, Noel. I'm fine. And how are you?
Okay, ranger. Is that just to do with the Dublin Mountain Partnership? Well, what does it entail, being a ranger?
Yeah, well, it is, and it's we're volunteer rangers, so we do this on a voluntary basis. So we are part of the Dublin Mountains Partnership. Mm-hmm. That's a partnership that was set up back in 2008. And the strategy there is to manage the Dublin Mountains on a more sustainable basis and to encourage people to use the resources of the mountains. Mm-hmm. So the public face of the partnership are the volunteer rangers. And they're a group of people. We've about 20 now at the moment. It can vary up and down. From all ages and all backgrounds who volunteer our time, mostly at the weekends, but sometimes midweek as well. Mm-hmm. So we do a range of duties, which include guided walks, routine maintenance up on the mountains, replacing or fixing signposting, and things like that.
Okay. Are they used much? Are they utilised much by the public in the Dublin Mountains?
Oh, absolutely. And I think I can say that since the Dublin Mountains Partnership was founded, that the increase in use on the Dublin Mountains has been tremendous. I've often been up on, we say, Fairy Castle on a sunny day, and it's like as if Henry Street is the first day of the sales in Henry Street or Grafton Street.
Okay.
Absolutely used a lot. In fact, we're just looking at the figures for last year. We brought through the various guided walks, we'd had about 70 guided walks over the mountains in 2016, and we brought well over 1,000 people on these guided walks. But that would just be a fraction mm-hmm. of the number of people who use the mountains now.
Okay, is it advisable always to be guided? Because they can be, no matter what sort of mountains they are, they can be dangerous at times, you know, depending on which way you go and what way the weather is.
Well, it depends on which part of the mountains you're using. If you go to the forest, and there are lots of forests around the area, there are looped walks within the forest, fairly safe, and you'd have no problem bringing your kids there. Just go, when you go into the forest, you'll always see a sign. It'll give you the loop walks, and then there are little markers, coloured markers with 2 feet on them, might be red or blue, whichever trail you're following, and it'll bring you back to the start point. So for those, certainly you would have no issues. Obviously, bring appropriate clothing and appropriate footwear, because sometimes it can be a bit mucky up there.
Yeah.
However, if you're thinking of going on the open mountains and you are not experienced, then we would certainly recommend that you would come on a few of our guided walks first to get used to it, and then if you feel comfortable after that, you can do it on your own. And our guided walks are graded. We have easy ones, moderate ones, and then the strenuous ones. And we'd always tell people like what type of walk they are.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, I might also say that we do dog-friendly walks. So most of our walks now, we wouldn't have dogs on them, and particularly where we're going out on the open mountain where they're sheep and that sort of thing.
Yes.
But for some of the walks in the forests, they are dog-friendly, so you're encouraged to bring a dog. You don't have to, but you can do that. And I might add that some of our walks are public transport-friendly,
okay,
so that we start them from a point where you can take public transport to and finish at the same point.
Okay. Excuse my wry sense of humour. The forest walks with the dogs, is that because of all the trees?
well, that might be part of it. Mind you, if I can just sound a little negative note here for a moment, we encourage the leave no trace principles, obviously.
Yes, of course, yeah.
But we have noticed that there are quite a number of people going into our forests with dogs, and the dogs are soiling, and they're not picking it up. And some of those who are picking plastic bags are then discarding it on the side of the trail or even hanging it on the trees.
Well, are there bins there, though, Paul? I mean, a lot of complaints in some of the parks is that people go to the trouble of picking it up. I know we've gone off the subject, but just to clear this up, some people go to the trouble of picking it up. When they go look around, there's no bins, there's no nothing. I've seen that in some parks.
No, we don't provide bins, and I tell you why. Well, one of the reasons is that the leave no trace principle is that what you bring out, you bring back.
Okay.
No matter what it is. And if you're bringing a dog for a walk, you can bring a poo bag. You can even bring a container to put that in.
Okay.
So that when you get home, you can dispose of it.
Okay.
And that applies to anything you bring out on the mountain or anywhere else.
Okay, if you're having picnic around.
Bring it back.
Okay, just to give, the website is dublinmountains.ie if anyone wants any more information.
Correct,
In case we miss out on anything. Now, are all these walks free, Paul?
All the walks are free, absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
No charge. All you have to do is to come on a walk is to register. You get on their website, and you've mentioned the name there, dublinmountains.ie, send an email and just give us the name, your telephone number, and ICE details. ICE details are in case of emergency contact. So if something happens to you in the mountains, we will know who to contact.
Okay.
And it's as simple as that.
Okay, remember, I mean, I'm ashamed to say that I think it's since I haven't been up in the Dublin Mountains since I was a kid, and you can see them. I live over now on the north side, and I love Howth, and even you don't have to be in Howth, but from different parts of Dublin, you can see the Dublin Mountains, so I'll have to make me business to go up there again. But as you said earlier on, it is on the increase with people. The age groups, do they vary as well?
They do, yeah. We get families up, and we get people of my own age. That would be the retired categories.
Okay.
In fact, some of the rangers are retired. We get all age groups. We actually do some walks for schools, particularly those maybe in transition year. So we do walks for those. So we bring children as well. Their teachers would come as well, but we would do the guiding for them. And we have people, as I say, of all ages.
Okay.
And it's great to see families, and it's great to see people bringing their young children.
Okay.
Obviously, on the appropriate walks, on the easy ones, maybe the moderate ones, we wouldn't necessarily encourage them to come on the strenuous walks.
Okay, and no matter what the recreation is that people do, Paul, I mean, obviously you need the equipment, you mentioned that earlier on, but what's the biggest mistake that maybe you've noticed, if maybe they're not part of your walk, but as you said, people go up and do individually. Well, what sort of you're saying, would you say to some of the people, listen, you shouldn't do this, you're not wearing the right shoes? What's the biggest mistake?
Well, first of all, yes, I'd agree. The gear is important. We do some of our walks, for argument's sake, on open mountains now. That's boggy mountains, and I've seen people turn up with just runners, and we say to them, you can't come.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is gear. Now, you don't have to go in and spend a lot of money on stuff, but if you're going to go up in the mountains, it may turn wet or it may turn cold, and you've got to be prepared for that. So you mm-hmm. should always bring wet weather gear and have kind of a layered system so you can take off stuff or put on stuff. Now, in the winter, we would often go start walking, and it's cold, so people are wearing lots, enough to keep them warm.
Mm-hmm.
But within a half an hour, because normally uphill, people are getting warm, so we stop and it might take off an underlayer or a top mm-hmm. layer or something like that. But it is always very important going down the mountains to be prepared for any sort of weather, regardless of the type of weather that you have when you're starting out. That goes summer, winter.
Okay, you just mentioned there summer, winter. So obviously summer is very popular, but is there any time, I mean, unless it's obviously like there's heaps of snow coming down, which we don't get very often, but it's an all year round activity, is it, Paul?
It's an all year round activity for us, yeah. We run guided walks every month of the year. And just as an example now, we do kind of special walks.
Mm-hmm.
So we do a summer and a winter solstice walk, and both of those are at night time. So in around the 21st of December or 21st of June. So that would be a nighttime walk in winter, and certainly you'd have to be prepared for that. And we tried to put in a plan other interesting walks as well. For argument's sake, last year, 2016, which was the 100th anniversary of the 1916 Rising, we did a historic walk, and we visited places where we could make associations with historic events from the time of the Normans landing in Ireland and right up to the 1916 Rising. So we do things like that as well.
Okay, and I know, I mean, like we could go through everything, but as I said, people can look up the website. You're right up to October. I'm just looking through a quick scan through some of it that you've free guided walks in October. But the Krug and the Massey Loops, what is that? That's happening in October. Yes, yeah. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong.
We actually, when you say Krug and Massey's, we do have two walks in Massey's this month. And normally we associate Massey's with the Hellfire Club. So tomorrow we have a dog-friendly walk in the Hellfire Club in Massey's. And it's amazing the number of people who see the Hellfire Club on the mountain and have never been up there. Mm-hmm. And it's a very good place. And right beside it is the old Lord Massey's estate. And while the house is long gone, the estate is there, and it's a lovely wooded estate. And the old wall gardens are still mm-hmm. there. So that's a very interesting walk. In fact, while we have that one on tomorrow, we also have another one on Saturday the 18th, going to the same place. But on that occasion, we will have an archaeologist who's coming up. They did a recent dig on the site of the Hellfire Club are two old ancient cairns, tombs. And they did a dig of those to excavate it. And the archaeologist will be coming up and talking about the dig. So that's on Saturday the 18th. Okay. And that's in Hellfire, and then a visit to Massey's as well. And there's a great history attached to the Massey estate and to the Massey family, who lived there up to around the 1940s.
Okay, Paul, listen, I always try and say that anybody, and sort of part of being happy in life is to find something that you love and do it. And if you're getting paid for it, that's a bonus. But even if you have to do it for nothing and you love it, like it sustains you in life and keeps you happy, I always say. And I think that you must be a very happy man because you seem to love what you do.
Well, you're dead right about the open air and the forests are good for our health to get out. In fact, we do on behalf of another group walks which are called Woodlands for Health Walks.
Okay.
So we do those over the summer, where we bring people out on walks with their mentors, obviously, and as part of a program of getting people with mental issues out into the countryside and out up on the mountains. Now they're fairly easy walks, okay, but that's a very important part of what we do.
Okay, well, we've talked about quite a lot of it, but there's much more. I mean, I know there's photographic walks and people in your exhibitions and that. But
indeed, yes.
People can look up DublinMountains.ie for all the information all year round on all the walks that you do, and some of them with their pets if they want as well. Listen, Paul, it's been a great pleasure. If I think the weather won't kill me over the south side, going a bit high with the air, I'll make my way over.
And you'll be very welcome.
Okay. Thanks very much, Paul. A pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Noel. Right. Bye-bye.
That, of course, was Paul Mullally, and he's a volunteer ranger with the Dublin Mountains Partnership. So, yes, I think I will make my business go over there. But you can look up DublinMountains.ie and for all the information. There's loads going on. 12 months of the year, I should say. So do look it up, and you'll get all the information that you need. Paul Mullally there.